Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by InternationalHealthPlans.com. If you're planning on traveling abroad, you may not be aware that health insurance plans here in the United States many times don't cover international travel, and you want to make sure you can travel with confidence. For very little money, you can insure yourself while you're traveling abroad. The website is InternationalHealthPlans.com. Coming up, we're going to be visiting with Larry Reed, President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. Right now, we have with us Mark Shulman. He's the founder and publisher of a terrific multimedia website. It's called HistoryCentral.com. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
Thank you, Mark. So for the last decade plus, 14, 15 years, we've been talking about current global events on Monday morning. And you're in Tel Aviv. I thought it might be interesting to find out how things are going there.
Right, so things have quieted down after a week of, it looked like we were heading towards a war for the moment. Things have quieted down, and part of it, of course, is the Passover holiday has ended. Israel's entering a period. Tonight is the official Holocaust Memorial Day, and then next week is the Independence Day. So things have quieted on that level. And the other side, the demonstrations have continued, although there are more and more indications that the government is going to back down from their attempted judicial overhaul, let's call it that. It's not clear yet, it's not final, but the price seems way too high. Moody's just downgraded the outlook for Israel as a result of it, and I think Prime Minister Netanyahu has realized that it was a bridge too far, let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Wait, that's just very good news to me. I personally think, again, I'm not an Israeli citizen, so I don't totally understand the issues there, but I do believe it demonstrates power to the people, and that's just fantastic, Mark.
No, absolutely. It was clearly the most, if it succeeds in the end, obviously we'll only know, you know, when he calls it off, but probably the most successful rallies in, certainly in Israel's history, maybe in anyone's history, in the sense of changing a direction. It wasn't a revolution, it wasn't overthrowing the government, but it was changing the direction of a government because so many people came out consistently. It wasn't like one rally. It's every single week, week after week after week, and it does show people have power if they want to exercise it, even between elections.
Do you think and there's any parallel between what's happened in Israel as well as in France?
There's a parallel, but of course it's much more limited on some level, right? In other words, the French thing, most Americans and most people in the rest of the world are sort of laughing at on some level, right? In other words, the French are so upset about raising the retirement age from 62 to 64.
It's so French, isn't it?
In America, it's at 67, and we're talking about possibly raising it to 70.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are they rioting about, 62 to 64? What are we talking about here? But the French, what can I tell you? They like their vacations, they like their leisure time. It's a whole different milieu, let's put it that way. It's a different lifestyle. You got to, on one hand, respect it, I guess. I don't know what to think about it.
Well, I think it's almost part of the culture that if something happens, they tend to riot in the streets. Or protest.
Very much so.
Yeah. So
very, very much so. So, okay. They didn't work. You know, they're going ahead with it.
Yeah.
Despite what they said, and despite the demonstrations, and the court in France has approved it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just logical, obviously. You know.
Yeah. Like, absolutely.
You know, generally speaking, leaving aside the fact that in America the life expectancy has gone down in the last 2 years, but that's somewhat COVID, mostly related to drug overdose and a little bit gun violence. So, but leaving that aside, generally speaking, people just are living so much longer, and we have to think that way. We have to think in a different way about all these sort of things.
Absolutely.
That's difficult sometimes.
Absolutely. So some violence has erupted in Sudan. Any thoughts or comments?
Yeah, I mean, there Sudan is one of these typical stories of a country that hasn't gotten its act together all these years, and what you basically have is two parts of the military fighting against each other for control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad. I mean, it's sad that they're killing each other. It's not over ideology. It's not because one's communist and one's capitalist or one's, I don't know, religious and one's not religious or any of the things that normally divide. It's literally two generals fighting over control. And that's terrible. People are dying because of that.
Yeah, my understanding is it was an attempt at democracy in Sudan. The two generals that pulled off a coup against the government, and now they've coexisted for a while, but now they want to get rid of each other and have full power.
Yep, very much. Very, very much. Very, very, like I said, it's very sad when things like this happen.
Absolutely. Shows how tenuous power can be, and we need to preserve our democracy. It's always...
Democracies are very important, and it's very... it's, you know, the principles of democracy is what's most important, is the concept of an independent judiciary, the concept of respecting the rights of minorities, the concept that peaceful transfer of power, all these things are so important to maintain a democracy. And, you know, American democracy hasn't been doing as well as it has in the past in the last couple of years either, so that's a whole other story.
Indeed it is. Also, individual liberty, so critical. So, Mark, we need to take just a little break. Can you stick around?
Absolutely, Bob.
All right, we're going to have more here on The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of The Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
You have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise Private Wealth Advisor Jason Nardella with Nardella Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Nardella Financial Group today at 239-325-1041. That's 239-325-1041. Office is located at 9015 Stratistelle Court, Suite 103, Naples, Florida. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Finish what you started with a Hodges University WHEEL. You can complete your bachelor's degree in as little as 1 year with your previously earned credits. What's the WHEEL? It's a customized bachelor's degree in organizational management. Learn about and apply the business, management, and leadership skills you need to advance your career. You can get unmatched educational experience with classes held once a week on campus in Fort Myers, in Port Charlotte, or Naples. You'll be immersed in classes taught by professors with real-world experience in the areas of business, management, and leadership. This degree can be applied to all areas of professional career. Learn more by calling 239-938-7700. That's 239-938-7700. Or visit Hodges.edu. Stay near and go far with Hodges University.
Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. We're providing you news and commentary rooted in a commitment to individual liberty, personal responsibility, limited government, and the rule of law. We continue the conversation with Mark Shulman, the founder and publisher of a terrific multimedia website, HistoryCentral.com. Again, Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Mark. So I guess I'd like to just introduce this segment when we're going to talk about Russia and Russia, China, and Ukraine with the papers that were stolen by this 21-old National Guards. I guess he was a airman.
Air National Guardsman.
Yeah, and it's first of all, just indicating a lot of information we didn't know that we should know, and I'm talking about Americans, but also demonstrating some of the things we're hearing, like Russia and the Ukraine, that Ukraine is winning. It's not necessarily so.
Okay, so there are a whole bunch of things. Let's start with the first level of insanity is that someone like this kid had access to top secret documents.
Right.
And this is insane. I mean, this kid is a young kid living at home with his mother, involved in who knows what, and he had access to the most, you know, top secret documents that exist, which is totally insane.
Right.
Let's let's start there. Something needs to be change in a very, very serious way in the whole issue of access to documents in this electronic age.
Right.
So that's step one. Step two, we also know that the people who spread the information beyond putting it on the server was someone working for Russia.
Huh.
So Dunbass, I forgot her name. The Wall Street Journal has a whole article about her. She was a also a retired Air Force person. Someone who was in the Air Force, not an officer, non-commissioned officer. Excuse me, that's what I was looking for.
Uh-huh.
And she been working this blog, which is a very pro-Russian blog, out of Washington State. She goes under a different name, not her real name, and she's the one who publicized a lot of this. And from what we still understand, a lot of the stuff was falsified. So there's truth and there's false, and it's all mixed together,
uh-huh.
which makes things much more difficult to fully understand.
Well, and there's one other issue too. I think so many documents are classified that shouldn't be classified. I would suggest hundreds of thousands of them.
Right. I mean, those are the whole thing. In other words, when in doubt, classify, right? It's, you know, it's the old thing going back a generation. No one got fired for buying from IBM.
Right.
So it's the same sort of thing. No one ever got lost their job because they overclassified something.
Yeah.
So that's the other part of it. As to, you know, again, it's very hard to really understand, you know, between what was there and what the overall situation is, because the situation doesn't really give an actual assessment of the war. What it does is it brings up a number of points of great concern.
Right.
So yes, it's of great concern that the Ukrainians are going to run out of anti-aircraft missiles on May, whatever date they gave in the report. But that's assuming they don't get anything else to replace it with.
Right.
And so as a result of that memo, which was about 3 months old, you know, the United States and Sweden and Spain and most of the European Union are busy sending anti-aircraft missiles to Ukraine. So, you know, it's like when you have a warning document and then action is taken, well, maybe, you know, did everyone need to hear about this? I don't know. I mean, the Russians don't really need to know this, so why should the American people know about something like that on that level? I mean, the American people know that the United States is sending lots of arms, obviously.
Yeah.
And what's also happened in the last few days now is many of the former Eastern European allies of Ukraine, former states of the Soviet Union or, you know, occupied by the Soviet Union, have all been sending whatever's left of their air forces from the Soviet era to Ukraine. So Slovakia, for instance, I believe today gave 18 MiG-29 fighter jets to Ukraine.
Huh.
And one of the other countries is giving the jets that used to be part of the East German Air Force to Ukraine. And while these are not as capable as the, you know, U.S. aircraft, on the other hand, the Ukrainian pilots know how to fly them.
Mm-hmm. That's a plus.
So, yes, a definite plus. Definite plus. So it takes time. It takes like six months or so to get a pilot combat ready in a new aircraft.
On the other hand, are you concerned at all that these reports indicate that the success that Ukraine is touting it just doesn't exist right now?
I don't know if that's true. I mean, what in the reports actually says that?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't gone through the.
No, I mean, there have been some ridiculous comments from some of the media, and more of the type that you consume, I'm afraid, that sort of have summarized it in a very, you know, problematic way. Let's put it that way. The major issues, the major things that were brought up in these reports were specifically the fact that the Ukrainians will run out of armaments, will run out of weapons, those sort of things, in May and June, unless something is done.
Yeah.
And things are being done. So I don't think in that sense it was so problematic. It was a little bit problematic in identifying some units, and supposedly the Ukrainians have had to mix up some of their plans for their counteroffensive because this information has come out. Probably the biggest problem with this report is the fact that it shows that the U.S. has someone high-level human source in the Kremlin. And, you know, that sort of thing is the most problematic thing in reports like this when they come out. It's not the actual intelligence, it's where we got it from.
Well, the other thing is boots on the ground in Russia, U.S. boots on the ground Ukraine.
Ukraine. let me put it this way. They're not boots on the ground fighting. My best guess is that what we're talking about is sending some U.S. soldiers to assess the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't, you know, only a soldier can really assess what's going on in the battlefield.
Yep.
You can't send your ambassador or whatever it might be, even the CIA officer, really to get a military sense of what's going on. So I'm sure units of whatever special forces have been sent, not to fight the Russians, but to, you know, get up into the battlefield and get a real sense of what's going on, which is important.
Of course, you got the mercenaries, too, from BlackRock and other countries, companies that are hired by U.S. services to do things where it doesn't necessarily implicate that the U.S. is in there.
Right, absolutely.
So,
but, you know, I'm not saying I don't favor it in any which way, but, I mean, let's not be, you know, a little bit sticky here. It's not like this is not a fake war between two proxies.
Yeah.
It's Russia fighting Ukraine, who is our proxy.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, some proxy of Russia fighting.
So it seems that Russia and China have gotten a little bit more cozy recently. Any thoughts?
Yeah, the Chinese defense minister is currently in Moscow for a four-day visit. I mean, the concern is, what are they going to decide together? Big unknown, again. Once again, what is China's end game here? And are they willing to get into a further confrontation with the United States over their support with Russia? I don't know. I don't think so in the end.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese don't want Russia to lose, but they don't necessarily want Russia to win. And, you know, as we've known in the world, it's very hard to get just the result you want.
So any thoughts on Taiwan and, you know, exercises that they're running around Taiwan?
Yeah, they're trying to intimidate. There's no question about it. They really are trying to intimidate, and I think one of the reports amongst these reports was that the Chinese Air Force would be successful in any sort of attack against the Taiwanese. Well, maybe, but I'm quite sure that every intelligence assessment before the war of Ukraine said the Russians would be able to knock out the Ukrainian Air Force in a matter of hours and have complete air superiority, and we're a year in and they don't have air superiority.
Yeah.
So I'm not willing to accept some of these reports and some of these intelligence analysis at face value.
Finally,
so we need to keep that in mind.
Yeah, so Mark, finally, if you could comment on, it seems that we have more and more countries turning towards China in terms of their support, their primary support. We see doors closing in terms of relationships with the United States, or at least weakening the relationships. Any thoughts on that?
Well, look, I mean, it's a question of weakening, maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, you look at it both ways. We probably have a closer relationship today with the Philippines, obviously with South Korea and Japan,
mm-hmm.
with New Zealand and Australia and Vietnam and Cambodia. All those countries that border China in one way or another, we probably have a closer relationship today than we've ever had before.
Mm.
So, yes, the Chinese are involved in Africa in different places, and they're involved in other places, and they're trying to use their economic power to gain political influence, no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to those countries that have to deal with China, I mean, the relations have never been... We've reopened bases now in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it for a second. Remember this whole thing, 20 years ago, to remove the American bases from the Philippines?
Yeah. And by the way, what are all the military exercises about in the Philippines right now?
Again, it's once again integrating the Philippine military with the U.S. military in an attempt to block China if necessary.
Mm.
They are our ally, no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
All right.
They're not a Chinese ally, and they have a dispute with China over mineral rights in the South China Sea where both countries are claiming it.
So interesting.
So, you know, yes, the stories are, you know, Chinese on the march and having more relations in Africa and places like that. But again, let's look, you know, literally at their back door. We are closer to all of those countries today than we've been in decades.
Reassuring.
Or forever.
Mark Shulman, again, founder and publisher of HistoryCentral.com. Great for kids of all ages. I hope you check it out, HistoryCentral.com. Mark, I really appreciate your commentary here on the show.
My pleasure. Have a great week, Bob, and all your listeners.
You as well. Thank you so much. All right, coming up, Larry Reed, President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. That and more right here in the Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of the Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.